Thank you.
Well, this is the what?
25th.
This is 25th of September. Oh, you're a day behind me. All right, you can listen across that time gap. 8012, St. Hill Special Briefing Course, Lecture Number 1. All right. We haven't got very much to tell you. You know it all now. You know everything there is to know. But your basic dynamic assessment, or looking for a goal, has many things on which it depends. And first and foremost amongst these is the auditor knowing how to audit. Somebody can look over the directions for a dynamic assessment and think he can do it because it's very easy and all you do is fall on your head and it's very simple. You just ask for a list and that's all that is. But remember that lying underneath all this is the ability to audit. I hope it doesn't happen to you, but all you got to have is one wrong goal listed on you. One wrong goal listed on you. See somebody stumbling around that's had a wrong goal listed on him or her, you'll never do it again. Let me tell you, you'll never do it again, man. You let a bunch of HPAs start finding goals, you'll get wrong goals found. Right now, the main difficulty is not clearing people. We can do that. That's a fait accompli. Well-trained auditor, doing his stuff well, and so forth, and you can get somebody clear. We have the technology with which to do this fact. 2,500 years after the facts of somebody dreaming it could happen on this planet, 10,000 years after somebody hinted it might occur, we can do it. Not because they regard their navel meditatively, or think right thoughts, or realize that it's all thought after all, and not think bad thoughts about things, and think right thoughts about things, and read the book held in a proper position on the knee, and tie the cat properly to the bedpost. Without all that line of we can clear people. And that is a triumph of great magnitude. Because it takes it out of the sphere, of a gift because you are so holy. Something you deserve because you have believed right. And of course, that is the most fantastic trap of all. Your freedom depends upon your absolute slavery. Big Brother is watching you. 1984, here we come. Inquisitions. All these various mechanisms. And the only inclination we have in the direction of discipline in this particular lineup is getting it done. That's the interest. Just let's get it done. And that's all. Let's just get it done. Now, the odd part of it is there are certain things which occur which prevent it from getting done. And amongst those things is not doing it. Saying you are, but not doing it. Now we can see a medico. He's hard up, cobwebs growing across his door. Poor fellow. Bill collectors coming around. Internal ravening, screaming over the telephone for his income for the year 1915. He finally has an enormous cognition. almost blows his head apart. It's those cotton-picking Scientologists that have done this to me. I am no longer permitted by the public, because they don't want me anymore, to rip open people's bellies and take out odd organs on the belief that there's a possibility that if I take out enough odd organs, something odd will occur. And, well, I can clear people, too. I can clear people. What you do? You get an E-meter. What's an E-meter? Well, we had one. It's a galvanometer. It developed the skin pore count, I think. We'll put them on that. Now, that's good. Now we'll say their basic purpose, all men are evil, so the basic purpose of any of these people would be to kill everybody or something like that. And I'll tell them that's the goal, and of course, do like the Scientologists do, and there we are. All of a sudden, everybody around the place says, well, he's doing Scientology and he's killing people. You see the danger? So, actually, a certain amount of safeguard must exist in the vicinity of any such technology. Now, not the almost optimum way to do it, or the most practical way to do it, but sometimes the most desirable way to do it is just shoot people dead who do it right, see? That's not optimum or practical, but it's so satisfactory. Now, all of a sudden the other day, and oh, where else could it be, Los Angeles? All of a sudden, all HPA students and all HPAs in class, and everybody all of a sudden started finding goals, and everybody ran out all the dynamic rock slams, and now the St. Hill auditors around there can't find any rock slams or find any items. Nobody bothered to mention it or anything. I think it'll take them a while to pull that one apart. An air litter is just now a flight. I think it has just now passed Des Moines, Iowa. It is en route. And it is saying it takes 2 St. Hill graduates to check out any goal found in the state of California and a cable to me before it can be listed. Now, you say, that's ridiculous. I mean, my God, 2 St. Hill graduates and so on. Well, I don't know why not. As far as cables, they're expensive. Human beings come cheap, but cables, they cost money. Now, you'll see somebody skirting around the edges of that one. And they all of a sudden will be stacking it up. We have a responsibility. One is to make it very, very clear to people that clearing is a subject of very expert auditing and is not a casual piece of nonsense that simply can occur any place at any crossroads. And go to some lengths to make sure that people who have the penchant for trying to get trained before they do. Now, that's our biggest danger right now. That's our biggest danger. Now, one of the ways you can always tell when we're successful is the number of protests that come and the amount of tax that develop. You can always tell when we're very successful. I have various uses for hostile thought and activity. I use this. I use it very, very good. If I engage on a certain plan and announce it in advance, and there are a great many protests against the plan, I look up the people who are protesting against this plan, and if they belong to the Rock Slammers Club, you know, they're old, well-known squirrels. We haven't heard from them for years, but all of a sudden this plan is announced and they've written in to condemn it utterly. I know, man, we're on the right road, and put it into effect at once. It's a sure test. It's a sure test. Now, the other use you put this to is I know we're successful if we're being counterfeited. and these sad efforts to duplicate and that sort of thing, very pale they are, start springing up around and about certain something. Well, I know we're being fairly successful. Did you know that one of these copycat outfits, by the way, is still in existence down in Texas? Texas, that's part of the United States. It's Concept Therapy. It's run by a bunch of chiropractors down around, I don't know, oh, some bayou. And that's Mud Flats. It's run by them. And they're still concepting. They're still going on. They picked up old Concept Therapy from 1953 or 52 or 54. I don't know. Way back, anyhow, whenever it was. 52, if I remember rightly. Summer, isn't it? 52. Concept Therapy. They're still doing it. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Please let them keep on doing Concept Therapy. Don't let them get suddenly ambitious. But unfortunately, they're liable to get ambitious, because who appeared at the last Washington Congress but the chief movers in that movement? They were all there, and they heard all about clearing. They're going to go home, and they're going to spin some people in. We ought to make it a law that they test it out on each other before they do this. Now, the ethics of the situation, then, simply involve the effectiveness. The ethics of clearing are the effectiveness of clearing. In other words, he who can clear, can clear. And he who hath not been trained in the clearing had better keep his paws off. And that's ethics. Now, any time you get ethics matched up totally with effectiveness and so forth, well, you've got a win on your hands, because it's not superstition, because it'll actually defend itself. If we let it be known very broadly that this is what we stand for, is effective clearing. We don't care if somebody had a fluke. You know, one fluke can kill somebody, you know. It's horrible. For instance, even you can make a fluke that'll ruin you for a while. You realize that? You know, you have a lucky break. No, I'm talking about a bad one. I'm talking about a good one, see? And you're sitting there, minding your own business, and you accidentally ask the PC if he has any string in his pocket. This is just sort of out of the clear, you see? And the PC says to you, "My God, I know what my goal is. My goal is to string people along." And so forth. And there you are. You've had it. You've had it. You haven't got a technology which expands beyond one PC. Now, the fight has been to get a technology which covered everybody. And the assessments which you're doing now, the dynamic assessments, are very embracive. You don't have exceptions to these things, you see. But you can derail yourselves on them by having a lucky break. I don't know, there are a couple of auditors around who've had lucky breaks and have been regretting them ever since. Because, why? Because they keep waiting for it to happen again. And, of course, it doesn't happen again. The PC does not have any string in his pocket, you know. PC after PC is stringless. Well, now, a broad general technology, then, is a desirable thing. But it can get hacked up to where it particularly fits just a few, or fits a very few cases, or something of that sort. Therefore, broken down then in its broad general application, it ceases to be effective. So you might say it becomes unethical to clear somebody unstandardly. You get the idea? This now can get up toward an idiocy, a simple Simonness about the whole thing. You see, you have to clear somebody according to the rules. You can't clear them any other way. Well, of course, that too outlaws the occasional lucky break. So that'd be bad too, wouldn't it? Here's the way you do it. You clear somebody according to the rules and take advantage of every lucky break you get. And then realize that the break will probably never again occur of that particular type. You understand? If you can realize that, you're protected then, very largely, from stumbling around and making a bunch of fruitless this and that about it. So broad clearing technology, of necessity, must be preserved as it is and released and to a marked degree safeguarded. There is some responsibility for the know-how. Well, because there's a responsibility for the know-how, you do get some responsibility then for the communication lines of the know-how. And the communication lines of Scientology are simply just that, they're the communication lines of the know-how. In that wise, you keep a broad breakdown, you keep broad technology going, and a breakdown of broad technology from taking place. Now, how are we able to suddenly interrupt all this in Los Angeles at such a rate of speed? Well, it's just excellent communication lines, good positioning, communication centers operating, people alert, and so forth, and it can all be put back together again, zing, 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 you see? In absence of these communication lines, well, you just either have to let it go, just let it happen, go to pieces, or wait until some far distant date when you can finally put it back together again, you hope. Well, actually, the way we're operating right now is something goes wrong. It's pretty much this way. Something goes wrong any place in the world on a subject clearing technology, something like that, so forth. Why, it's just a matter of zing, zing, zing. We hear about it, we do something about it. Bang, bang, you see. And it's within a 48-hour, 60-hour proposition quite normally. Well, that's how we can operate right now. And we can put things back to rights before they can fall apart. Now, it's very important. Now, it's very important, these data, to you for this reason. Is you're going out and you're going to get stuck in some corner of a central organization or into a clearing co-audit or something of the sort, and you're going to have everything up against your chest, and your world is going to be the immediate zone of influence. You're going to have some tendency to say, that is happening in the next block and is none of my business. And that I don't approve of. Nobody on this planet could hold my post at this present time. That, I know, would be completely impossible. Because I can't hold it. It's backing me up, man. I've held on to it for years and kept it wheeling for years and so forth against all manner of this and that, and it's just getting too rough right now to cope with. Frankly, it is. Somehow or another, it'll get coped with. But let me point out something to you. Those things which I am handling at the present moment, which are giving me trouble, are out of routine. They're offline, you understand? They're difficulties which have not been predicted and cared for long since. They're offbeat things that are occurring here. And that's what's giving me trouble. I can keep up with routine actions, with the administration lines, with all of these things. I can keep up with these things. But you start giving me a fistful of oddities, one corner and the other way, and it's this and it's that and it's the other thing, and my God, I feel like a boxer backed up in the corner of the ring, you know, being hit by about four fighters. I start getting punch drunk. Now, if I'm going to handle everything that goes wrong in Port Darwin, everything goes wrong in Mexico City, everything that goes wrong in Tierra del Fuego and Paris and Rome and a few other points, all on non-routine basis, let me tell you, I can't do it. It's just not possible. And who's going to do these? And what goes wrong anyhow? Well, I'll give you a little rundown on what goes wrong, and maybe you can understand why I'm talking to you about this. Somebody doesn't act is the inscription on the tombstone of more graves than you can count. Somebody didn't act, that's all. Something didn't happen, you understand? And it drops a ball. Big one or a little one, ball gets dropped. And an area of confusion occurs. Now, prediction of what is going to happen is normally the common method of taking care of these emergencies. And a communication system or an administrative system is simply something which is already planned to handle traffic so that nothing becomes an emergency, you see. But if somebody doesn't act along those lines, or if somebody doesn't use his noggin along these lines somewhere, then the next thing you know, why, zip, zap, boom, and you've got confusion going at a mad rate all over the place. Confusion is occurring madly. Now, who is this somebody who should have acted in the first place? Well, today, I got the most confoundedly confusing dispatch you ever heard of. An HCO, I hate to use the name in this derogatory regard, but it's only a temporary secretary on post there, actually wrote and said because the HCO was not collecting any of the monies which were due and owing to it, that it was out of funds and therefore couldn't continue very long that way. What an incredible statement. But the person actually wrote this statement and sent it through the lines and is feeling quite upset at this very minute and is quite resigned and feeling apathetic about it, you know. All this person has to do, you see, is just collect the money owing to it. They are not unreasonable pieces of money from unreasonable quarters, don't you think? This perfectly ordinary action has to be taken, but is asking for an extraordinary solution because the ordinary solution has never been taken. All the sources of income are right there. They're perfectly able and competent to pay this HCO its money, but the HCO can't ask for that money, and somehow or another now an extraordinary solution has got to be dreamed up for this particular area, and so on. Do you see the setup? So actually what the dispatch was doing was demanding that I take some extraordinary step with regard to this area. It already isn't doing its job. It already has dropped the ball. Now, of course, an unusual solution must be entered into the situation. Now, let's see how fundamental this combination of events can become. Whenever you have an extraordinary solution demanded of you in supervising, auditing, or PCs or something, whenever you have an extraordinary solution demanded of you, it will only be because the ordinary solution was never in action in the first place. You have the unusual demanded of you because the usual has not been followed. You've got a PC suddenly appearing on your doorstep, 3 a.m. They're shaking, they're sweating. Oh, they're just about ready to blow out their brains. Where did this PC come from? How come? What's the interpolation in this immediate person's area? Well, look at this. You're there. There's the PC. Well, it's up to you to do something about it. That's for sure. You've got to do something about it. You can't just recriminate and make everybody guilty for not having taken the usual steps. But let me call to your attention that you actually have two actions you are being asked for. Let me please teach you this one thing. There's the PC on your doorstep at 3 a.m., shaking, you know, loaded revolver in hand. I've just come by to say goodbye, you know. Now, you naturally take a hold of the PC or put them on the meter, talk to them, or give them some phenobarbital, or anything you can think of. I don't care what solution you use. You get this PC calmed down, and you get the PC picked up in auditing or straightened out one way or the other. I know you'll handle that much of it. You always have. So you'll handle that much of it. Well, please, can I point out to you, there's another step you must always take. Is find out who dropped the ball that brought that PC into that condition and straighten that area out. Got it? Always take that second action. Please, I'd be less than doing my job if I didn't tell you about this, you see. Always take the second action. I know it takes a few minutes longer. I know you feel hard driven. I know that there's two PCs upstairs and one in the basement that are waiting for your time. I know there's three telephone calls in coming through the switchboard for you personally, and nobody else can handle it, you see. I know all this. Just as I say that, I remember a telephone message I didn't deliver this evening, see? But the point is simply this. You've got to find time between those two PCs. You see, you've already found out that this person who appeared on your doorstep was audited, and a goal was found last month by George Snickwit. And between the phone calls and so forth, ask, telephone, do something. Who is George Snickwick? Well, it's easy. This person took the PE course. I think he went halfway through HCA course, but dropped out. Dropped out in the middle of the second week because he knew more than the instructors. Well, your indicated action, see, is to do this second thing. Let's straighten out that zone. Otherwise, that zone is going to multiply more PCs on the doorstep, and you're not going to be able to breathe ever. This way I'm giving it to you, someday you can look forward to being able to breathe. There's two or three things which are indicated there. What instructor let him out of what class? What D of T didn't take this person in and put him on the meter and police withholds and send him back to class? Who didn't do this? Who doesn't know the May 3rd, 1962 bulletin? You understand? What HCO area sec has not bent his ears over the top of his skull and tied a knot in him? You understand? And just take enough time to call up and say, at least, what the hell are you going to do about George Snickwick right now? Not next week, but right now. See? That's actually about all you have to do because it belongs to somebody else, you see. And then, that second step is not complete unless you've done the following. What have you done about George Snickwick? Understand? And that way, perhaps we can keep calm reigning someplace or another. Now, of course, there's things going to occur that the devil himself couldn't do anything about. But then the devil isn't OT. He got withhold, so he couldn't be. You got a problem here of keeping the plate level on the table and keeping the soup in the plate, not all over the room. And if you always take the second step, we can manage it. And if you don't always take the second step, why, you'll have areas sometimes you say, oh my God, nothing can be done about it. True. The United States Air Force Signal Corps or something has just decided to clear all of its pilots with auditors certified by the American Medical Association. Yeah. What can you do about something like that? Well, I don't know. It must have gotten pretty bad. There must have been a lot of balls dropped up to a time when something like this could occur, you know. You say, well, what can I do about something like that? Well, you can scream. You can always scream, and because you can always scream, scream. You understand? And remember that there's this interesting mechanism which exists in this particular universe. You can always make a force turn around and serve you. I've taught a few people this. It could come absolutely deadly afterwards. No matter what force comes their way, they use it. It's a trick that has taught championship tennis players. The force of the ball hitting the racket is employed to drive the ball back. And there's a little trick of rolling a racket. You know, the ball hits the racket just a little bit off slant, and the racket is rolled and actually will go straight back to where it came from or can be positioned almost any place. Did you ever hear this tennis trick? It's a terrific trick. Try it sometime. Try it with a tennis racket. You find out that it isn't enough just to stand there and resist the impact of the ball. You can actually, by hitting the ball just right, roll your racket just right, and it'll turn, and a lot of the force of incoming rolls out outgoing. You get this trick. It's something like dropping something into a cup. Instead of hitting the bottom of the cup, it comes up the other side. This is merely illustrative, not a lesson in tennis. All right. Use the force to serve you. And you often can. And it's a trick that's peculiarly adapted to this universe. Now, you know that if auditors certified by the American Medical Association are going to clean up and clear the U.S. Army Signal Force Air Corps, man, that's going to be disaster. That's going to be terrible. That's going to be pretty grim. So, unable to prevent the emergency, take advantage of it. You know very well what's going to occur. So you just publicize the fact and get everything all ready to take care of the catastrophe. Set yourself up as a small civil defense unit. All right, we're talking to somebody who went halfway through an HCA class, and he's read all the bulletins, and he knows how to clear somebody, and he's going to clear them. That's fine. He's got an E-meter that was manufactured for the American Medical Association, something like that. And he's going to clear this person, and he's going to work on his wife. And you're talking to this fellow. Well, he's going to do it, and you say, but look, you haven't got any right to do this thing in the first place. You haven't been properly trained. It's a very touchy operation. And so forth. And you haven't any right to do it. And you're actually putting your PC in considerable danger. Why don't you run a nice problems intensity? You can undoubtedly get away with that. You can make your PC feel better. Why try to kill your PC off? You know, all these arguments now, they're good arguments, and most of the time they'd serve you, but this time they fail. Well, don't go off and hide your head. Do the secondary operation to that, which is, he finally says, well, I'm going to do it. I don't care what you say. This is time to say, well, now, here's my telephone number. Have you got it there? You've got a pencil there. Here's your telephone. I'm going to put it right here under emergency and ambulance. Here's my telephone number, and here's the time I can usually be reached, and so forth. And now, I'll tell you something. But sometimes if the person gets shaky or something like that, if you cover them up and keep them warm, and you got any B1, anything like that, give them some B1 and cover them up and keep them warm and call this number. In other words, set it up to take care of the emergency. Got the other trick. The fact that you have set it up to take care of the emergency may very well give somebody enough pause that you get your own way in the first place. Guy says, he's rolling up his sleeves. He's going to go on into session with his scalpel, you know, and do a golectomy. And he passes by the telephone and sneers at it, you know, collects an overt on the way by. And goes in and starts, what is the detested person? He's read that in a bulletin someplace that you ask this and you don't much bother to put the data down, but you must have the PC answering this question. It's, what is the detested person? Wrong question, but he knows you're supposed to do something like that. And, of course, his wife says, well, let's see, you. And then there's you. And you, yes, that's you. And he says, well, it couldn't be me, because I have always been nice to you. And you'll have to give me somebody else. Well, you can imagine where, with that small takeoff, this activity is going to go and so forth. There's somebody pale and shuddering, and he has finally found her goal, which is to love my husband. He lists her on this, and it's all gone very ruggedly. And passing by the phone one day, she's upstairs sick. And he says, well, I won't say anything. I'd maybe just better call up and tell him how things are going. And so he does, and you've taken care of the emergency. You check out the goal, and you find out that wasn't the goal, and he by this time is... and so forth, and he finds somebody to find the right goal, or he'll go get trained to find goals, or he'll do something effective. Do you understand? After, of course, the U.S. Army Air Force Signal Corps has plowed in 50% of its aircraft... they would begin to become aware that there was something more to this. But they would think there was nothing to it at all if somebody had not set up the emergency ward for it, you see. So you doom up paper, something like that. You say, well, I can get in contact with about 25 auditors on emergency, and we can set up an emergency unit, you know, and we can take care of the various... suicidal and depressive effects which you're going to bring about, and so forth. We want the name of every person you employ on this auditing project, because we will hold them as untrainable thereafter and not suitable for training in Scientology. And we'll do this and we will do that. And you do it all up, you know, make sure the commanding general hears all about it and so forth. Just like this other guy, he's going to laugh hollowly at first, you see. But finally, why, he's going to get those first bad reports. And he's going to say, He's going to get some more bad reports and very few good reports. Doesn't look good to him. He probably won't go that far. He'll probably be on to you. And he'll say, well, you're a member of the original group on this sort of thing, and you're supposed to know your business on this sort of thing. How about straightening this up? And, of course, at that time, you straighten it all up for him under the same conditions they imposed during World War II, unconditional surrender. You just impose all of your conditions with no monkey business about it. Now, you see how to take care of this situation. We're walking into an emergency situation. Yeah, our second goal clear, got out of here. You probably don't know this story yet. You probably haven't had it on the grapevine. My lines are faster than grapevine. My communication lines are the only lines in the world that are faster than grapevine. She got down there, and she announced a clearing co-audit. And to quote her, she practically got her clothes torn off of her. She just got ripped to pieces in the rush. A clearing co-audit announced in Bully Wile, the place where they all got killed, caused a stampede of magnitude. And she was absolutely knocked appetite over tin cup in the rush. And the reason why she signaled for John to come down there is she was actually going down for the third time. She had to have somebody on deck now. She was trying to audit 10 hours a day and run a co-audit and straighten everything out and handle everything. She couldn't make any part of it. See? Well, can happen, you know. It also happened like this. You go back into an area and everything is nice and sleepy and there's nothing wrong and everything is going along quietly and you clear somebody up and you're going to do all your own listing and all your old goals listing and you're going to do all your own items listing and you're not going to have to groove it in anyway because there isn't anything much to do about it. And so you clear up this person and then you do something with that person and then the next thing you know, opening the door mornings, it just seems a little more crowded out there. And one morning you open the door and the whole house gets swept away. It doesn't matter how quietly it starts or how long it takes to happen. It's going to turn into an enormously confused area in your immediate vicinity, no matter what you do about it. Give you some kind of an idea. I was living a sleepy life, quiet. Everything was going along rather interestingly. Peter had very little to do with sorted papers. And he took most of the important dispatches off the line and handled them. And I didn't have anything to do. I just sit at my desk and breeze along. And practically no emergencies anyplace. This was 1960. Well, in the last month, the last 30 days. Let's not look at 7,000 some odd miles of boat travel and 700 miles of car travel or Congress or any one of these things. Just omit those because, frankly, I had no time for them. So they just had to be deleted off the time track. You add the amount of auditing I have done in the last 30 days, the number of cases that I have directly consulted about, the number of cases I've straightened out, the number of plans and solutions which I've had to put forward because the area was screaming for it, the number of new transcription and communication activities which I've had to try to set up to cope with this sort of thing, and you would realize what I was talking about. On top of all this, of course, there are several emergencies around that have nothing to do with any of these lines, don't you see? But I actually could not at this present moment and have not been able to handle in the last 30 days just my auditing supervision. See, I haven't been able to handle that much of my job thoroughly. Now, when you add to my job all the things that are added to my job, you get sort of a feeling like things are going rather rapidly. You also get the feeling like things are kind of out of control. You get to wondering where it's going to land. I know this. I know this before. I've had it in 1950. And you're facing another 1950. But this one will come out straight and right, providing we all keep our heads screwed on and keep the show on the road and don't monkey around with a bunch of squirrel nonsense and don't tolerate a bunch of bad clearing. And if we can do these things, why, it'll all come out all right in the end. We'll get through this all right. And if we don't take care of these things, however, if we just say, well, my job's an auditor and there isn't anything else to do on this particular line, let me tell you, we won't get through it. I mean, that's that rough. We'll practically be wiped out in the rush. Because the number of times I have raised my voice in the last few days in exasperation and in total dismay, well, it must be 6 or 8 times. And it's enough so the kids are now getting used to it and smile and pat me on the back. At the same time, I've been able to just kind of get things grooved in a little bit so that just before the lecture tonight, I was able to show them a movie on Tarzan of the Apes and that sort of thing. I hadn't put my tie on yet, but I showed them a movie. You can also do living at the same time you're doing this, you know, if you kind of fit it in edgewise. But I see all the symptoms here. Now, what's even more interesting to you, perhaps, there's a whole new country just blossomed open suddenly, crash, Japan. And the biggest evening paper in Japan has just run column stories on Scientology and has tied up their switchboards totally. John Aukert from University LA, Department of Mathematics, was over in Japan and gave a public lecture. Talked about clearing, that sort of thing. Now, a little bit of pioneer work had been done there, a few contacts had been made. He evidently went along these lines. I don't think the gentleman who was sitting right there realized that this wire was that live. He thought maybe it had 110 volts in it, but it's got a couple of 100 million volts in it. A Japanese public, 4.5 million readers of that one single paper, almost knocked the building down. Now this leaves me, of course, I know we don't have time to do this, but I have to do this. Leaves me with the job of writing special articles for Japanese papers, of tailoring up and editing Scientology textbooks to be translated into Japan without time to train an auditor as a translator. Grim. I can't read Japanese characters. I can read a little bit of Romanji, which is their Romanized letters. My Japanese is far too rusty. I spoke it a bit once, but not anything in gear, see? There's just nothing in gear here at all. Now, there's a country, a large population, vital, very forceful people. George Jelinek going over some surveying with me this evening. You say, where'd that hat come from? Well, it just happens to be another hat. We were standing out here talking about surveying and surveying things up. And we were talking about various types and classes of architecture so as to plan up what's to be done with that courtyard over there. And he was talking about how vital Japanese architecture was and how powerful, how forceful, and how brutal their architecture was. And he didn't think he could cope up to it. Well, I doubt it, the last fact, of course. But here's a very vital people. Poised on the threshold of Asia, the newest awakened nation in the world, these people, with a handful of battleships and so forth, almost made it just a few years ago. Man, I know I was on the receiving end of some of that. They darn near made it. Now, a nation which is whipped in war inevitably goes into thought. They'll move up from force to thought. But remember, a Thetan never gives up. They had conquest in mind, and conquest they will attain. Only it'll be a conquest of thought. There is an arrow poised at the heart of communism, poised at the heart of all these enslaved states. There is a very interesting situation. Now, sooner or later, the Japanese are going to break out. They've already broken most of the treaties with the U.S. The U.S. can't keep them in line now. Student riots and that sort of thing prevented Eisenhower from going in there. There's an interesting people. There is no philosophy tailor-made of a political nature which would handle that situation. And all of a sudden, this wide people, already they are, their communistic aspects is they believe that the individual should have a greater chance and the state should have this and that, but the individualism of the individual should be terribly maintained. In other words, it's very confusing. Karl Marx is dead right except where he is confused with Nietzsche. Okay? And this is pretty confused. That nation isn't half whipped, all right, if one can guide its It, by the way, owes its primary upsurge of civilization to an incursion of Buddhism. Many centuries ago, Buddhism was the first civilizing agent in there, and they taught writing and they taught the various arts. Japanese had no writing up to the time the first Buddhist monks arrived from Tibet. It's very interesting that into Japan swept Buddhism centuries ago and brought about a literate civilization, which eventually was opened up. And suddenly, with enormous enthusiasm, we get the wide-arm embrace for Scientology coming in from the West, which, of course, is a whole wisdom all in itself, at a moment when it is delivering the goods. In other words, you can take off all the slack of the years of hoping and waiting on Ron and hoping it worked and the forward surge and so forth. No, it'll just come as the total impact. From first book to last book, all in one package, bang. Pretty startling. Well, what's this going to do? I don't know. I haven't any particular plans of conquest in Asia. But it looks like I don't have to have any. There goes China, man. There goes China. Well, which of you right this minute could go to Japan and train some auditors and do some clear up of the situation, get a sort of an organization together which can serve as a library and can control the activity in the vicinity so it doesn't go all to pieces and so forth? Well, which of you are going, you know? It's that sort of a question. Because, of course, you can't go because the place where you're already going to probably already expects you and so forth, but there are many places in the world that need you equally much. You understand? Any St. Hill graduate that doesn't know where to go, for Christ's sakes, get in touch with me, man. Dispatches in my mail just this evening were demanding 2 St. Hill graduates before yesterday morning. The situation is totally out of control. Now, it's also interesting that the FCDC income has doubled since the Congress and is remaining at a double state. This has never happened before. Usually it lasts for a week or so as an upsurge income and then drops off quite markedly. Well, it is doubled and is slightly increasing. Their units are kicking now around 70 cents. With every sign of rising income, they've just moved into another building and so forth, and an additional building just for the HGC alone, and all kinds of things like this. And they're on my back on the subject of more St. Hill graduates. There's a new plan of clearing. And all clearing plans are the same plan now, only we call them staff clearing project. We call it the public clearing project. We call it a staff co-audit clearing project. I don't care what you call it. It's all the same plan. Is you get an untrained or a well-trained, untrained is PE level, or well-trained HPA level, auditor who does the prep checking, the first PE level, of course, does it under heavy supervision, and the HCA would do it under less heavy supervision. He does all the basic auditing. In other words, he gives whoever comes in a problems intensity, and lists all the goals, and he gets them all padded into shape, their needles fine, he gets their with holes off. He gets them straightened up, in other words, so that they can fly. And he turns them over to a St. Hill graduate who audits them just long enough to find their goal. And as soon as that person's goal is found and proven out, that person is put back into the pack again to get the goal tiger drilled at the beginning of every session and listed. So your auditor who's doing this has to know how to tiger drill at one goal alive and list out a goal. All right, now, that is the clearing plan. That is the way it is working out. You don't let a St. Hill graduate do prep checking. You don't let him list the original goals. You don't let him list the items. You're doing it here so you'll know how. But here's ordinarily how it goes. This is your HCA level activity, or very heavily HCA supervised public activity. And it runs along on this track, and then it does... Just this person is ready to have his goal found, or there is auditing time to have this person's goal found, and it suddenly goes tick, tick, boom, bang, and he's back on the track. You understand? He comes right along this line here and so forth, and then he's totally derailed off it in the hands of a St. Hill graduate. Person's goal is found, and instantly he is put back immediately on this other line. Anybody who isn't doing that, any St. Hill graduate who isn't operating that way these days, is operating at a hell of a waste, not just for himself, but waste of treasure and waste of human time. because that's the way it ought to run. Now, what do you have? You have staff auditor number one is a St. Hill graduate goals finder. You call him the staff goals finder. And staff co-audits on their own time. See, they audit each other, and then as soon as one is ready to have his goal found, well, he's passed over to the staff auditor number one, and for that period of time, he is in that auditor's auditing room getting his goal found. And as soon as the goal is found and checked out, why, he is put right back into his co-audit thing. But you have two things running on staff. One is a co-audit, that is the untrained staff people are done in co-audit that meets Monday, Wednesday, Friday sort of thing. And then you have the trained staff member who is permitted to co-audit on his own time and doesn't attend this co-auditing, these co-auditing sessions which are supervised. You see how that's done? And the staff auditor number one has an HCA assigned to him who operates, could be as a part-time or even two part-time CAs or HPAs, and these people review the folders and make sure that the staff members that are doing the co-audit hand in their auditor's reports and keep the thing scheduled and that sort of thing and hand the administration form. Or you can have a full-time administration person who also does the supervision, so on. It doesn't much matter exactly how this is worked out. The basic plan is that there's a St. Hill graduate there finding goals, and people are being all handled and squared up. He's not having to do any of this handling. Squared up, and then they hand him a person, and he finds the goal and feeds the person back into the other lineup. You see that? All right, you do that with the public. For instance, we have a new release form, the darndest release form that anybody ever heard of. You know our old release form? It says nobody... We're not responsible for anything that happens in the HGC. You ever read one of those release forms? If you fall down or break your neck or anybody audits you badly, why, you daren't sue L. Ron Hubbard or the organization or the SOC SEC or anybody, and it's nobody's fault but yours, and that's what the old one reads. The new one reads, just this and no more. It says, the organization takes full responsibility for clearing you. And you, on your part, pledge to make yourself available for processing and pay for the auditing until this is done. Signed by the person, signed by an officer of the organization. You look it over from a legal standpoint, it's very amusing that it's a more legal contract than the other. I can just see some old judge trying to settle this thing as a release form. Well, they took full responsibility for you. What did you do? You're suing them. What did you do? What did you do? Did you make yourself available, as it says here, for whatever you did? Well, you didn't. I thought not. 30 days, or no, no, it's a civil suit. You see, a different spirit pervades the land. So what happens? What happens? This guy receives his contract someplace out in the field, and he signs the contract and sends it back in. What does he get for signing the contract? A promise that we will not raise our rates to him for a year. That's the only reward he gets for it, because believe me, cost of processing is going up every place. We promise not to raise our rates to him if he signs a contract. And this is the person we promised to clear. Central organization some time ago sent out letters to everybody saying we were had him on our clearing list. Well, this is their first issue on that subject afterwards, is this release form, and it says sign it. And tremendous numbers of them will be signed and sent back in. But that same thing. All of a sudden, you've got two, three, four St. Hill graduates on the staff, and you've got a lot of staff auditors. And all these St. Hill graduates are doing there, but not being permitted to be D's of T or anything else. They can only be technical directors by my special permission. And a SOC SEC, yes, they can be in a SOC SEC, providing they're not needed someplace else. You get the idea. I mean, this is a different look. So you got two, three, four of these people, and they're on staff, and just as fast, you bring these people in from the field, fix them up, get them all ready, and so forth, and when you go to St. Hill graduate, call them in again, and find their goal, feed them back to listing, and zip them out of there. In other words, this is assembly line clearing, and this is world clearing program. Of course, you're co-audits, you get 60 people together, and there's a lot of tricks that you can use on that. I'll talk to you a lot about that later on. I figured out a new angle on how you charge for this, if you're going to do one of those, so that it makes the people who join the co-audit very anxious to bring in new people because it costs them less.
The basic cost of the co-audit is $500 or $1,000 a week. And, of course, if they only had one person, it would cost him $1,000 a week. He's very anxious that he'll have 100 people. And in any event, you get $25 more per week or something like that for every person there. I can just see some guy trying to leave that co-audit, you know. But anyway, these are the problems. This is the atmosphere the world is living in right now, central org-wise. I mean, central organizations are short of St. Hill graduates. They're trying to start this and trying to do that, and not enough time and not enough people and not enough technology, and already using the bulletin that's going to be received tomorrow, you know. And this is the operating climate that we're moving up into, and that operating climate, of course, will smooth out some years from now, perhaps. If you live long enough, maybe even in your lifetime. But this is what you're walking forward toward, and this is what it looks like. And I just wanted to talk to you about these various things, and talk to you about the ethics of the situation, to talk to you about you got to keep clear and good, and you got to keep it getting done. That's the only thing that's really effective. And take the steps necessary to make clearing effective and keep it from being messed up. And we've got our job done. We got the technology, we're on the way, and so forth. And even you will be clear very shortly. Thank you very much.